Nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. I'm Gabriel Shadar. On the 6th of April 2023, the South Sudan Bureau of Statistics released a population estimate report. The estimates put the population of South Sudan at 12.4 million people. The survey was conducted between May and June 2021 using satellite imagery and enumeration in collaboration with the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA. The report indicates that 52.9% are females and 47.1% are males. And the youth in South Sudan, according to this estimate, stand at 77%. Officials say the estimates will be or can be used for policy formulation, planning and service delivery. Now, there were mixed reactions to the report and some have welcomed the outcome while others rejected it. Today I have with me in the studio a researcher, Agustino Ting Mayai. He is the managing director of the SUD Institute. He holds a PhD in sociology with concentrations on demography and development from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he's here with me in the studio. Welcome, Agustino, to our studios.
Thank you, Gabriel, for having me. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Yes, so let's have, you must have seen or heard the reactions to the population estimate report that was released on the 6th of April. How do you feel about, first, the report itself and the reactions that followed?
Thank you very much. I actually attended the launch of the report, which placed South Sudan at over 12 million people. Remember in 2008, when we conducted the census, we were at about 8.3 million people. It is a good idea to continue to enumerate and understand where we are. Unfortunately, I think we could have done better with the current statistics that have been put out so far. And the reason is that the signs just doesn't add up. So my reaction was that you can't really use the results either for policy planning or politics. And politics in this case would be elections, for example. Because if you can't use these results for politics, then it's not a good idea to use the same results for policy or service delivery, because basically that's where you would have to do a lot more work in order to create justice through programs delivery.
Mr. Mayne, I've got a kind of trip to step out of the Nationwide Discussion Hour. My full studio, Agustino Ting Mayai. Agustino da bahisa fi mahad sud li dirasat. ونحن بنتكلم اليوم في رأيه حول التقديرات الأخيرة طلعت من المكتب الإحصاء المركز الإحصاء القومي واللي قدر مواطني جنوب السودان سكان جنوب السودان ب 12 مليون فاصل 4 مليون شخص والتقرير ده طبعا قال انه 52.9 من الناس في جنوب السودان هم نساء و 47.1 هم رجال وفي الجانبين ده كله في 77% من الشباب وأغوستينو هسه قال لنا انه ما بنقدر نستخدم يمكن يعني هو يقول الاستخدام الإحصاء ده أو التقييم ده التقدير ده لأنه estimate ده تقييم ما إحصاء ما ممكن استخدمه بيكون في إشكالات إذا استخدمته في السياسة وإذا ما قدرت استخدمه في السياسة ما تقدر تستخدمه كمان في السياسات الثانية. So let's go with giving the listeners an idea about why a population estimate is important at all.
Yes. So for any planning for any government programs to be delivered to the population, you need some evidence, and that evidence has to be derived from people by going door to door and generating information related to their age, related to sex, related to their employment, related to birth, related to mortality or death. And that information is compiled to determine what services would be provided where, how many people are where, because that's how you determine whether or not you deliver 20 schools or 30 schools. So that's one part, and that's development planning, and that's what the National Bureau of Statistics says it would use the results for. And then the second part is that for political distributions of positions, for example, such as parliamentary seats, you need to also have a population. And that population would be used to create what is called a district or a constituency. And that constituency is allocated a position at the parliament, for example, at the national parliament or at the state parliament. And if you don't do right by generating statistics, you can create injustice by allocating more positions, for example, to a place that probably deserved maybe one or two representations. So doing justice to census results is another way of doing justice to the people in terms of delivery of services and in terms of political representations.
Mm-hmm. How is the process affected by the level of development of state institutions? Like a country like South Sudan, like I don't remember what was the last time we had a census in the Sudan. And then we had it here in 2008, right? So 2008. So what are the challenges when it comes to the ability of state institutions to gather the information as we go? Like people automatically register births, they registered deaths, they registered mobility.
Right. Yeah. So there is an association between record keeping at the country level and the capacity of the system that generates those records. And there are two ways to generate the information. One is what is called the civil registry, or in this case, vital statistics. Those are statistical materials you generate on a regular basis. For example, if a child is being born at the hospital, that information is generated automatically. And it's fed into a statistical system of the country. If somebody dies at the hospital, the same thing happens. If you migrate to Khartoum, that is recorded by the Ministry of Interior, and it's fed into the system. So that's vital statistics. But then every 10 years or so, a country must conduct a census similar to vital statistics, but greater coverage. So then you are able to look at the picture of how the population is growing. Is it growing in Bahr Ghazal more? Is it growing more in Jonglei State? Or is it growing more in Eastern Equatoria? And that will help you in determining the kind of approach you apply in terms of generating services for the people, building hospitals, building schools, building roads. But consistently, because you need elections, right? So you're going to need to distribute political positions by using new information.
Mm-hmm.
So almost every 10 years, and you use the same results for a period of 10 years because you cannot do it regularly because it's very costly. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to do it every 5 or 10 years, and you use that information over time for planning as well as political purposes. Mm-hmm. And so development is very key in this. And the point I would like to make is that given our situation because of the war, the Bureau of Statistics could not easily get out there and conduct a census. So the best way for it to generate information that would be sound is to use a sampling approach. And that sampling approach is what produced what we have today. Otherwise, if there was stability, there was security, you would need to go door to door. But not only that, you would need resources. For South Sudan to conduct its census right now, you need about $100 million, which the government says it does not have. So it's there's a challenge, but it has to be done still if you want to have development that is credible and it's fair, and if you want to have political positions that are fairly distributed.
So the citizens of South Sudan are paying for the lack of instability, the lack of access, the lack of institutional capacity to do this regularly, even economic capacity, if we can say, like even no external party or organization can come and do it on our behalf.
No, because It is a sovereign exercise. Mm-hmm. There would be support coming from partners. UNFPA provided funding for the exercise that just concluded. But normally it's a government exercise because there's a sovereignty element of it. Mm. Nonetheless, it's an exercise that could be jointly done.
Yeah.
The problem with joint endeavor right now is that majority of the international partners do not trust the government. Mm. So they are not able to invest most of the resources that could have been allocated for it to conduct the census. And so the Bureau of Statistics, with the limited resources provided, was able to do the population estimation using a survey.
But now we have the result here with us. Are we caught in an option where we will just have to say take it or leave it?
So we have options. And those options could be limited, but they are there. So option number one is for us to swallow our pride and forget the fact that scientifically the results are flawed and say, look, this is the best we have. Let's use this results both for policy planning and for political representations. Mm. That would need a consensus, not among South Sudanese citizenry, but among politicians and the political parties. Because as I understood from the Bureau of Statistics officials, the results could not be passed for political representation. Instead, they were passed for policy planning. Mm. And even that, you still have issues where I come from has closely or nearly tripled in terms of population size in the last 13 years. That is not demographically possible. Now, if you allocate seats on the basis of that, then Warab actually will gain 11 more seats at the parliament. And that's, to me, there's no strong reason for it because the statistics don't really make sense demographically. And so that's option number one. Option number two is that we can actually, with the limited resources we have, we can go out there and conduct our own census. It's going to have to be intensive because the time we have is limited. It takes, on average, about 2 years to conduct a census and produce the results. And that is something we can do. Mm-hmm. You need $100 million. Maybe the government can generate $40 million. International community can generate another $60 million. Mm. So that's option number two. Option number three is that we can go back to 2008 and use the 2008 census. Mm-hmm. Not for planning, but for redistricting, so then you can allocate the same constituencies you had in 2010.
Mm-hmm. What you are saying here, we can just take this but leave out the political part of it and say we go back to the 79 constituencies. Now you have 3 administrative areas, and then you go by that and run the elections. And then you make maybe a compromise when you are providing services, or we go and do another census on our own. Mustamanif Kulma Khan fi Barnamaj Nationwide Fta'at al-Niqash Ma'ay fi al-Studio Al-Bahis Agustino Tingmayay Wa ho biqul innu al-khilaf al-khilaf aw al-Niqash al-Hasil bi-sabab al-Taqiyimat al-Hasla fi al-Ihsa تقييم الإحصائي الحصل لمواطني جنوب السودان ممكن يحصل فيه مساومة أو تقدير بأنه ما يتم استخدام التقديرات دي عشان يحسبوا بها المقاعد مثلا للبرلمان. هو بيقول مثلا زي ولاد وراب يعني التقييم الأخير ده بيقول إنه هم عددهم يتضاعف لثلاثة مرات، معناته ممكن يكون عندهم 11 مقعد زيادة في البرلمان الجاي، وده قال طبعا ده موضوع صعب. فأحسن هو بيشوف إنه ممكن الناس ترجع لإحصائيات 2008 وتعتمد المقاعد الموجودة فيها أو الدوائر الانتخابية الموجودة في الزمن ذاك، وكده يكون في مساومة فيه. برضو نحن كمان زي ما قال مرة تانية إنه الناس تعمل إحصاء ويطلعوا قروش. إذا الحكاية دي بتطلب $100 million، الحكومة ممكن يطلع $40 million والمجتمع الدولي يساهم $60 million. لكن برضو الإحصاء الزي ده داير سنتين، نحن باقي لنا قل من السنتين دل. إذا حسبنا الشهور الفاتت في المسودة in the road map, we are not left with even 2 years. We have limited time. So now taking the lead from other countries who are doing it. What can we learn from even countries around us here?
Well, the countries around us are not like us, right? So we're not faced with we're faced with the war. Majority of them are not faced with the war, especially in East Africa, unless you're talking about Sudan, which looks more like us and is having difficulty just like us. And what they normally do is every 5 or 10 years they conduct the censuses, and then they use the information for development planning purposes. As well as political purposes. Now, for us, what do we learn from them? Perhaps we can go back in history and learn how they arrived at their sustainability. Mm. And that begins with stability of the country itself, mm. that for us to invest in science, because population census is science, we must be stable. And we might be stable politically as well as economically. Mm-hmm. And we can draw from Kenya or Uganda, for example, which are doing very well in this front, or even Ethiopia, for that matter. Ethiopia is unstable right now, but they are consistently producing their census statistics mm-hmm. on regular basis.
Now, so what happens now when statisticians go out there and make these estimates? They come back and table them before authorities, and what are the authorities supposed to do with it? They can even throw it out of the window or tell them, you go and do it again.
So statistics such as we have now had as an estimation from the National Bureau of Statistics. The National Bureau of Statistics is a government entity. And that's its task, to generate information for development and for political purposes, as I said earlier. Normally, it's not optional because it's what the government must do. And so those statistics are generated to inform those policy decisions that the government would make. I mean, a good example would be, how do you distribute new schools, right? It's going to be based on birth, right? Children that are being born. Depending on where you are. Mm. It's going to be based on how many children of this age will require this service by this time. If you want to, let's say, distribute health services, you're going to have to understand where health disparities are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And where do you get that information from? You can get that from health statistics, but also get those mm-hmm. materials from the census. So it's never optional. And we, the demographers and statisticians who go out there, are tasked in order to inform that particular obligation that the government has to undertake. Mm-hmm. So it's never take or leave. I mean, it happens in South Sudan. We leave very important information because it's just the nature that we have. But it's not because we're not obligated to use the information.
And in a situation where everybody is underdeveloped and everybody needs it, it's become more important.
It really is, and especially in a place where you are emerging from many years of injustice, you need to create justice by delivering services equitably. And that equity cannot be arrived at by just sitting on this table and deciding. We would have to generate evidence, and that evidence has to come from data. And the data would have to be generated by the National Bureau of Statistics or other centers in order to inform that decision by the parliament, by the state governments, by the county governments. Statistics will be required for them to make sound decision. And then that's why people complain about South Sudan, that majority of the decisions we make are not informed by science. And the census is a grand input in terms of informing decisions.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Agostino. You are still listening to the Nationwide Discussion Hour with me, Gabriel Shinal, Radio Miraya. And I will now open the lines for the listeners who would like to comment or ask questions. Please be brief, be direct. If you feel like you want to make your question in Arabic or English, please, you do that. But to be brief, I will take maximum two questions from each listener. The numbers are 09-29-686297, and the SMS line is 09-12177141, and the Zen lines are 09-12062950, and also 09-12062079. Those are the numbers you can call, and I will be picking your calls for our guest.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.
Hello? Lost the caller on that line? Hello?
Caller on that line?
Hello? Yeah, welcome. Hello.
Hello, Zakaria.
Marhaba, Zakaria. Welcome, Zakaria from Malakal.
يعني الناس اكتشفت ما في زول يتم تقدر وفي أقصايا بتاع وفيات كمان لأننا يعني ما بنقدر نستقل في عرسين الثمانية وفي وفيات وفي الولدهم كمان ده السؤال كده المناطق اللي فيه روبات كيف يصلوا أرقام ده كده.
أوكي كويس تمام وصل السؤال بتاعك زكريا. هلو هلو
Hello. Hello.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling?
How are you?
Good, I'm fine.
You are connected with John Ring from Bloomberg.
John Ring, welcome.
Yes, you know, Gabriel Joseph Shadar, Barnami Day, the Barnami Kuwait Shadid. Yeah, hello?
Yes, I'm Mark.
I know in this world, but they've done a video. I know Google Hell, and I added with the Junubin. Yeah, and بقى قاعد يعرفوه كل سنة ولا في الزمن اللي إنه العدد بتاع الناس يعملوا بعد سنة وبعد سنتين إيش يعني ما بنقدر نعرف طبعا فأنا ده نعرف من ده بتاعتنا يجرى لنا كده نفهم عدد بتاع الجنوبين هل ده ناس اللي عندهم جنسات يا هم في العدد ولا دي الناس المدونة الجنسات يا هم كلهم في العدد أنا اللي عندهم جنسات
أوكي Thank you. Thank you.
شكرا Gabriel. شكرا.
شكرا. Hello? We've lost the caller on that line. Hello? 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 We've lost the caller there. Are you there? Because I'm not getting you. Hello? Yes, welcome. Marhabek. الحمد لله تمام قلت أنا منو؟
جيمس
مبيا من توي مرحبا بك
يا خير شاء الله كويس
تمام
برنامج كويس جدا أنا بشكر بيوت الفيديو من فعلنا حجر كل فانا يحصل بتاعي كده طبعا كان 32 ولايات يعني كان في تحديات كثير كمان بقدر اجا ولايات كمان بقى 10 يعني في تحديات كثير لسه في جانب التنسيب تعنينا الولاية في تحديات مهمة شديد تعنين ما هيدو أحبا من دانشي في شغل بكر بمواصر أول بشري كده وأنا ما بيها ردما دي موجودين كبار في مجلس في ولايات أو في مجلس في ولايات يعني أنا ما أعرف حاجات مشاكل بس الجماعة دي بقدر هي مشاكل هم بقدر كل مصاف
شكرا لك شكرا لك مبيا من تونج هناك في وراب ستيت and I have two questions here online one says Taban from Ye he says does this estimate results include people who are in the refugee camps and that is also the same question from Santino Mayer from Ruling Administrative Area. He says this estimation is not realistic because some people who are immigrants and refugees were not included in this estimated update. I'm not sure of that. What do you think about these refugees and IDPs people? So let's get back quickly to Agostino Ting and then we'll pick more callers. Yes, Agostino.
No, thank you very much for those questions. So first off, let me register the fact that the Bureau of Statistics did account for internally displaced people. Mm. It did not account for the refugees. Mm. And this two questions, which are related, are on point. Mm. And the reason is that they lead to me now explaining what a growth should look like in a population. Well, first, there are two main sources. Well, there are actually only two sources of population growth. One is migration, inflows, the difference between outflows and inflows. That's called net migration. What that means is that for you to grow as a result of people coming into your country, you would have more inflows than outflows.
Mm.
As we know, our people have been displaced, and a lot of people have left the country, actually in millions. So it would be very difficult for anyone to think that there has been significant growth as a result of migration. So that's point number one. Point number two is that growth is also determined by what's called a rate of natural increase. A rate of natural increase comes about as a result of a difference between birth and death. And I heard the gentleman earlier who spoke about people migrating and also people dying.
Mm.
Well, South Sudan now stands at a place where there is almost on equal level death and birth. So if you were to consider growth related to natural increase, that rate is going to be very limited. And as a result, it's very difficult to make sense of the results that have been produced by the National Bureau of Statistics. Because, I mean, if you look at Warap, I give Warap because it's my state, Warap would have had to have improved tremendously in terms of living standards in the last 13 years. That means infant mortality is close to zero, under-five mortality is close to zero, maternal mortality is close to zero. And those living standards we're talking about would mean high income, right? You have a nice home and what have you. Well, as we know of Warap, those things don't exist, right? But you can also talk about migration, internal migration, that because other places were affected by flooding and because of war, majority of these people migrated to Warap, increasing the population in Warap. The facts as they stand show that majority of the people did not stay in the country. They left the country. They went to Sudan. They went to Uganda. They went to Ethiopia. And so the idea that Warap State would grow as a result of the two factors is very difficult to put on the table and sustain it scientifically.
Yeah.
And so the point being made out there by these people and other folks are sound, to my opinion. And that's why the statistics can be easily challenged.
Mm-hmm. Let me pick more callers. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Joseph Chedak.
Yes, Nationwide Mark. Welcome. Marhabek.
I'm John Wilfam from Medina Malakad.
Welcome, John.
Marhabek. Well, pal, I'm going to call El Dave, El Gai, the studio. The program, El Gai, Naga, Yifog. I'm going to call El Tijirian, but El Estimation, but El Population, and South Sudan. I think I'm going to call for common, but I'm going to call El Estimation, I can't have a lot of the El Fad, can't have a lot of El Fog, Resolve, El Zarda. I'm going to show population, da. Master. Li, anu bishu biyano bagana kulu maasa bum. Ata chakse agani kala magda, anu maasa bani. Anu bishu wana juzmi ni sab. Pa raya vitai, el estimation da, mugrut, akumu mai shakal fogu. El nas, ya sabum tani. Number two, el isab, mother law siyasa. Umamin kinana namol use vita 2008, Census that 2008, in the Nakamjin, El Kabar, Walwaladu Bil Kabar, Wal Nasal Mat, Nasbar Abuke, Ella Yokunti, Saval Jidin, and Isaval Jidin Amulanda, Yaman Kinyamcha Amulu used the election. And also, it can benefit South Sudanese because the Amulay is up, and as we are about that in Sudan, Nazi Kuch, Lenasil Boleda, Lila Bogra, the Kamada, the father of the South Sudanese. So, Anna Bogul Bardo, the judiciary. El judges they couldn't independent. You okay, wrong message. You know, Sudan. My Yagbulo, El Maluma Gora. Dazim, you couldn't talk with Adiat, El Kalamasa Walagora, Badak Yamulo Pass. For 12 tile Nazel Asida, that can Nazel in Shokubiana Gal Shokola, Itidirian Gada Moloda, Damasa. Akum family at his strategic, which and you couldn't for a giga, Sansa Giga, Badak Jinu Sudan.
Shukran le soala kina keda. That is from John Bilfam, And he was saying, yes, his opinion that this estimate is not really exact. It doesn't feel even it has been counted. A lot of things. And he's saying that it's appealing even to the judiciary that they shouldn't accept this kind of wrong estimates or kind of policies that will be made based on this. Hello, Nationwide.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Good evening, Joseph.
Good evening. Who's calling?
You are speaking to Marial from Maridi.
Marial. Welcome, Marial, from Maridi.
Thank you very much, and thanks also to our guest in the studio.
Mm.
I have definitely two questions to the guest in the studio.
Mm.
One, is it this estimated number that are we going for election or not? That is one.
Mm.
Two, okay, is it this one decreasing or increasing? Because I have seen, as he mentioned, in Warab, a lot of the people who lose them in Warab is almost about a million, what I have seen so far, and then across in the country.
Mm.
Okay, is it these people are being accountable or not? Thank you very much.
Thank you there. Another caller, hello?
Hello, Gavir.
Yes, welcome. Can you put off your radio? Yes.
Yes, you're connected with Abraham.
Abraham, yes. Abraham from where?
Abraham Deng from Ajok.
Abraham, welcome.
Yes, I don't know between those who have been have gone out from the other country. For example, like our citizens that are now in Uganda.
Mm.
So, when that sign of counting of the people has been made, really they have been added to the list of the of South Sudan or not? Because they are far away from us.
Mm.
Is there any committee can go there and to see over those people in order to include them in the census of South Sudan or not?
Mm-hmm.
This is my question.
Thank you. Thank you for your question there. Another caller. Hello.
Yes, hello, Gabriel Joseph Sadar.
Yes, welcome.
Andrea Camilo from Kangisayam of Juriba County.
Welcome, Andrea.
Okay, my question goes to the guests in the studio.
Hmm.
Do you know first having a transport of South Sudanese which are outside to let you come and make the population to record it the same? No, because so many people are now out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not South Sudanese, or are you just counting, or you have a machine which counting them from here where they are in?
Mm-hmm. He's not the that one who is counting, by the way. He's commenting on what has been counted. So they will be coming here in the next few days so that they will answer these questions. But it's good also to see, because he's a specialist, he can answer this question also. What are the options for going out to count people, how people are uncounted? By the way, you will have to tell us something about this satellite imagery thing that is being done to estimate the population there. And I think everybody is worried about people who are out of the country and people who are refugees, and then whether this thing is going for election or not. This is what is the peak of the minds people. So let's go back to our guest, Agustino Ting.
Thank you very much. Let me start with the imagery approach.
Mm.
It's a new approach. As somebody trained in demography, I wanted to figure out what this is, and I found out that it is actually not a counting approach. It's more of surveying to see where people are settled, to see whether or not a place is densely populated or partially populated. And then you get to the ground with an estimation approach. In this case, you select a number of locations and you enumerate from there. And based on those enumerations, and the Bureau of Statistics will have to provide more explanation when they come in here, because the report they gave out was a summary. And it does not have lots of details as far as their methodology.
Mm.
But my understanding of that approach is that they figured out using satellites where people are settled.
Mm.
Is it a huge settlement? Is it medium-level settlement, or is it sparsely populated? And so that's the approach, but you will have to talk to the Bureau a lot more, because that's not what I was taught to to do as a demographer. Now, let me get to the comments and the questions that were raised. So John Bilpam was talking about the inaccuracy of the estimates, and that's what a lot of people share as far as the results. But I also want us to be cautious. Remember, this is not a census.
This is
a sample. That means we have taken a snapshot of the population and used that information to basically determine what the population would look like otherwise. So the Bureau of Statistics had not done the census, its estimation. And so some of us were not consulted because it was a sample. Some folks who were lucky were reached and they were enumerated, but not everybody. Now, would a new census be required? Obviously, if you want to create constituencies that are sound, that will not create any political problems, you're going to need to have the new census. But if you cannot do the new census, the best option we have is to go back to 2008. Now, the issue of refugees being considered, I mean, that has come up in a lot of conversations that I have had with people. This question makes a lot of sense because this is where South Sudanese who are displaced and they still consider South Sudan home for them. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. Refugees are not counted where they are. Internally displaced can be, but our refugees would end up being counted in Uganda. They would end up being counted in Sudan. They would end up being counted in Kenya. And so considering them for the census is not easy to do. I mean, it could be done, but it's not easy to do. Logistically, it's a nightmare. So we're not going to be able to do that. The same thing applies to when we conduct elections.
So it's about, it's not about who is a South Sudanese, but who lives in the land.
So who lives in the land? So all the UN staff who are here from other countries were counted based on this sample. And they were counted in 2008. So it's just everybody who is present at the country at that moment of the census that gets into the census, regardless of where you are in the country. And so that's how the census it's conducted, my people.
So something also I saw, other figures I saw in census is you have, and like it shows the number of cattle you have, the number of houses built in this way, distribution of other services and all this. Are these also available in estimates?
So I haven't seen the big report. So as you have seen, Gabriel, they released a summary. But they are supposed to be there, right? So that's how you understand the level of, for example, poverty in a setting. So these resources that are basically documented, such as having the cattle, having let's say a house, is your house built using modern materials, is it built using traditional, all of that, it's an indication of people's well-being. And so you're going to need that information to be generated from census, but you can also use a survey to generate the same information. Again, the purpose of it is that it informs planning, right?
So what we have now is just a number, but we don't have the qualitative part.
We don't
of
have
it.
The details. We don't have the details.
Which tell us what is the situation of these people, even if they are 1 million, 2 million, what is their exact situation?
That's right.
So up to this, we are just dealing with the numbers that have been provided, and they don't seem even to be satisfactory. And so we are coming to, I mean, if there are other callers, if you want to call, you can still text me on 0912-177-141, or you can call 0929-686297. You can call that number. Otherwise, let's come back to the starting point. We have an estimate of the population. And it has jumped from something like our previous, it was 10 million something. Now it has,
it was 8.226. Yeah,
8.26. Now it is 12.4 million. And the youth might be happy because they say 77%. That is the only thing they might be happy about. And the gap also, I remember women were 60%. Now they are said to be 52% of the population. So now this is contested. This is the bottom line of your argument. This is contested. And it is very risky, if I can say, very risky, controversial, to use it for planning purposes, allocation of resources, and for political reasons.
Yes.
So let's go back again to the options that are for the transitional government of national unity, so that they can have a safe landing out of this controversy.
Yes. As you correctly put it, Gabriel, the results are contested, and they're contested because of the scientific element of this. Because it's a sample, it's not a census, there will be huge gaps in terms of the results. And so you can't use this information for political purposes, as I already stated. But you also have an issue using the same results for policy planning, because again, if you cannot explain to me how WADAP, for example, tripled in 13 years, it's very difficult for a policy maker to basically provide results, right? Again, there is an issue with those results. So where do we go as a transitional government? What do you do with the roadmap in this case? And the good thing is the Bureau of Statistics and the Council of Ministers have agreed that they cannot use the results for redistricting, right? And so where do we go from here? Well, option number one, as I said earlier, is generating resources to conduct the census. The time is limited, but if you have the resources, we can actually have the speed, maybe hire maybe 1 million Chinese to collect the materials and get that done in maybe 90 days. Collection could be done in 90 days, and then the analysis can take about 6 months to a year or so and have the results out. But if you cannot generate the resources to do so, which is option number one, then the political institutions and the political parties will need to sit down and agree to use the 2008 census, because there is no other middle ground. The middle ground is the estimation, which we all do not like as far as the results. And so where you go from here is that you have two options. Mm-hmm. If the government would like to actually conduct a new census, then it needs to begin tomorrow, which is Tuesday, to be able to arrive at getting the results out sooner and making sure that elections are conducted in 2024. Mm. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough ride.
Let's look for the consequences of using the estimates of 2028.
Yeah.
So what are the repercussions?
Well, so there are repercussions, and the gentleman who called in earlier actually emphasized the fact that in the last 15 years, we have lost people. People who have died, we have lost people who have migrated. We also have new people who were born and who are now almost young adults. Mm. And so if you're going to use the old census, you basically do not have the updated information of the population. And so some places that could have grown or could have undergrown, and we know there are places that did not grow, or rather lost people. So Upper Nile in particular, it's highly affected by the conflict. So Zhongli and Upper Nile states, for example, and then you have part of Central Equatoria having lost people to Uganda. So if you use the old census, what you are basically saying is that nothing has changed in South Sudan whatsoever in the last 15 years, which we know is not true. But it's better than using the 2021 results, because then you will maintain the constituencies that we agreed to have in 2010. And that way you can avoid all the controversy or the conflicts related to redistricting. I mean, if for example, if you go out right now and say, look, let's WADAP actually have more constituencies, in this case, more representations in the parliament, I can just tell you that majority of the parliamentarians will just walk out of the whole, and they will not be part of that conversation.
Looking ahead in the future, because we are not bogged down by just now, but also we have to think ahead. What would you recommend for the government to be able to be lean or be fast or be swift in collecting estimates annually and all these kind of things, reaching the people? Because the implication here is that the government is limited even in its reach. They can't reach, the government can't reach every corner. So what would you recommend?
So the census is not an exercise you do every year.
It's
very expensive and it's time consuming. And that's why countries do it every 5 to 10 years. So what the government would need to do I mean, it's not just the government. I think our society needs to have peace, and we need to have stability. Because without stability, there are many things related to development you can do, such as conducting the census, such as even building the roads. I mean, we have just recently started building the roads. I mean, there's an element of political will there. But again, even if there's political will and you don't have the time and resources, and you don't have the space to do so, you're going to be challenged. And so for the government, the starting point is that they need to implement the roadmap. But not just implementing the roadmap, they need to implement the roadmap by using traditional ways of implementing policy or laws. And the census is one of them. I don't think it would be too much to ask of the government to get out to the international community and say, I'm going to provide half of the cost of the census. Give me half, because I need that for me to conduct my elections in 2024. I think that could be sold, and it can produce better results for the future of the country.
Does South Sudan have enough statisticians to do that, or they can?
So there are several layers of statisticians you would need. So the top layer is a demographer. So such a person such as me, there are about maybe at a master's level, six of us in the country. So there aren't that many demographers. I know that there's Professor Melodiang at the University of Juba. I know that there's Professor Mangon at the University of Rumbek. I also know that there's Eliaba Yona, he was at the Natural Bureau of Statistics at UNICEF. I know that there's Professor Adel, who's a demographer at the Ministry of Higher Education. And there is myself here. This, at least based on where we go and meet, these are the few demographers that are in the country. But those guys sit at the top. And then you have the second layer. And those guys are the enumerators. You can train them to generate
information. Yeah, they can be trained in very short
and
time.
So it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. So what you need is to have the resources, have these guys hired, do the training across the country, and of course work with the Bureau of Statistics to manage the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much, Agostino Tingmayai from the Sutton Institute, for being with us. Thanks for your input, and I hope the listeners outside there, they have learned something, and we will come back again when the debate also continues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gloria. Appreciate
and that
it.
That is all today from me on Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Maria. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.